from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello discusses the good and the bad in Catholic college commencement speakers with the Cardinal Newman Society's Patrick Riley. Also, Dan Burke examines the work of Holywood Acting Studios with acting instructor Jeff Jordan. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register, and Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register. Thanks again for joining us. Our first guest today is Patrick Riley, President and Founder of the Cardinal Newman Society. They promote and defend faithful Catholic education. He's co-editor of the Society's Newman Guide to Choosing a Catholic College, Assessing Catholic Identity, The Enduring Nature of the Catholic University, and Newman's Idea of a University, The American Response. Today, Patrick discusses Catholic commencement speakers and how they either contribute to or detract from the Catholic identity of colleges.
Patrick, you know, every year about this time, the Register writes a story that talks about commencement speakers at Catholic colleges and universities. And, of course, this year we have the same story. Joe Pronishin wrote it. It's called Commencement Speakers 2014. And our readers and listeners can find it online. But, you know, every year we talk to you from the Cardinal Newman Society to find out who is who amongst the college speakers. And this year you've proven very faithful in tracking those good and bad speakers, and I'd like to talk with you about that today. It seems that we are regressing. We have 20, I would say, poor choices this year, as opposed to, I think, there were only six last year. Can you tell us what's happening in the college commencement scene?
Yeah, it's an unusual year. I mean, last year there were only six that we raised, and you know, there are a number of concerns. You know, as usual, it tends to be in the political realm. You know, the Secretary of State John Kerry at Boston College, and also their Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy there, and the former Surgeon General of the United States Regina Benjamin at Carlo University. You know, it's a host of a number of people actually related to the Obama administration who have views that are contrary to the church and have publicly expressed them in terms of contraception, abortion, same-sex marriage. And, you know, this comes up frequently over the years, but it has been declining significantly in the last decade. And all of a sudden, we saw this spike this year to 20.
Sure.
And we're not quite sure why that is. I think to some extent it may be this sense that has been promoted in certain circles that somehow with Pope Francis that things are opening up and that that the emphasis on Catholic identity and doctrinal orthodoxy is somehow disappearing. I think our Pope has made it clear that that's not the case, but some of these colleges, for whatever reason, seem willing to go backwards,
right.
I would say, to a time when they were frequently honoring individuals who are opposed to Catholic teachings, and that's very unfortunate.
Right, and you know, you had made a comment to Joe Pronishin in our story that sometimes the colleges seem to struggle in who to ask. You know, they want to ask someone who's made an impact in, let's say, the social justice arena, and yet they may have difficulty finding someone who doesn't always also have some other kind of baggage. What was your point in that regard? Where do we run into this kind of trouble?
Well, for example, St. Mary's College in Notre Dame, Indiana, is honoring their commencement speaker is Judith Mayotte, who has given her life to focusing on human rights concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of the groups that she's been responsible for, you know, the Women's Refugee Commission she serves on, advocates reversal of the pro-life, the Mexico City policy at the national level. And she's also a former director of Refugees International, which has advocated what they call reproductive health care, which, of course, you know, often includes abortion and contraception. You know, there are individuals who are focused on social justice issues, but unfortunately, many of those groups are very much engaged with Planned Parenthood internationally and with other organizations that have a contraceptive mentality. The other guy this year who I was pointing to is Hugh Evans, speaking at the commencement of St. John's University in New York, mm-hmm. who's the CEO of a group called Global Poverty Project, which obviously is very concerned about eradicating poverty around the world. But in that role, he has been a very vocal advocate for contraception around the world, limiting right. population and encouraging poor families not to have children. And that's simply not a Catholic approach to things. So is this a good choice for honoring at a Catholic institution? I don't think so.
Right. And of course, we basically take some instruction from the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops in terms of who should be allowed to speak at a Catholic university. And what is it that the USCCB says on that regard?
Well, in 2004, the bishops issued a document called Catholics in Political Life that stated that Catholic institutions should not honor those who act in defiance of our fundamental moral principles. They should not be given awards, honors, or platforms which would suggest support for their actions. Now, there's been some disagreement on the platforms question, which means speaking platforms. And we've interpreted that to mean speaking platforms that would be seen as honorary. So a commencement speaker is as much an honor as it is
sure.
delivering a lecture. We also, as an organization, have had concerns even about lectures on campus that might lead students astray in Catholic teachings. But this particular directive was clearly aimed at honors and honorary speaking platforms, and commencement, I think, clearly falls under that, whether or not they're receiving an honorary degree.
Sure. This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Patrick Riley of the Cardinal Newman Society. Now, Patrick, these commencement speakers haven't all been bad, so tell us about some of the good, positive commencement speakers and where they're speaking.
Yes, every year we're seeing more and more of wonderful commencement speakers. We highlight the ones that are church leaders as particularly exemplary in terms of a Catholic identity. But, you know, a speaker doesn't have to be a church leader to be a good choice. We saw Mount St. Mary's University had Bishop Kevin Rhodes from Fort Wayne, South Bend. Franciscan University honored Cardinal DiNardo from Galveston, Houston. And also, as you'll be excited about, the CEO of EWTN, Michael
That's
Warsaw.
Right. That's right.
Who certainly is deserving of great recognition for all that's been done there. Dan Burke, the executive director of the Register, was also honored as the commencement speaker at Magdalen College, the College of St. Mary Magdalene in New Hampshire. We saw Mother Agnes Mary Donovan of the Sisters of Life at Aquinas College in Tennessee. So a number of great examples of people who have done such great work for the church and deserve honor at our Catholic institutions.
That's right, and we're thankful for those institutions and the way they stand up for the truth, and it seems like many of these are always faithful. One of the ones I was struck with the story Joe Pronishin wrote covered was CUA, the Catholic University of America, and you know, sometimes the people that we honor are academics, and yet they have honored Philip Rivers, the quarterback for the San Diego Chargers. So it's just goes to show you that these models can come from every walk of life, and they really do encourage the students and often give them great words of inspiration. Patrick, what do you think should be the goal of the colleges in choosing a commencement speaker?
We've often been accused of censorship and when we put out these lists and identify the speakers, but it is the way you worded it. It's about the choice, and it's about the positive decision that the college or university makes. And I think in every case, whether it's simply a speaker on campus or whether it's someone who's being honored, the choice ought to be how is this going to advance the mission of the institution, and how is it going to cultivate virtue and a sense of faith in God in the students. And so, you know, I think when you're in a Catholic institution trying to honor someone, they ought to be looking to in the first case, honor those who are advancing the church and are advancing the mission of Catholic education. And secondly, looking at people who are just great role models for our students. And the fact is, you know, someone may be a wonderful person, but if they're doing things publicly that are contrary to church, to the church and to church teachings, then, you know, then you really have to wonder whether that was the best choice.
Right. Well, you know, also this week, Joan Frawley Desmond wrote an article about another Catholic university that has struggled quite a bit with its Catholic identity in recent years. We've covered it frequently. This is Georgetown, and one of the Georgetown alum, William Peter Blatty, who wrote The Exorcist, he basically filed a petition to the Vatican asking that the Vatican take a look at Georgetown and what's happening there and really ask them to adhere to church teaching in the school. And Blatty received a response from the Vatican to this petition, and they left some sign of hope that they would be talking, the Vatican would be talking with the Jesuits at Georgetown in trying to effect some change. But not everyone seems to think that that the document, Ex Cordia Ecclesiae, which is a document of Pope John Paul, really applies to the universities. It isn't. They say it's not really a checklist that the Catholic universities really need to abide by. You have an article on your website. I think it was published on May 14th. And tell us about what people are saying regarding Ex Cordia Ecclesiae.
Well, yeah, this is going back to when Ex Cordia Ecclesiae was first issued, and the head of the Association of Catholic Colleges at that time actually publicly came out and said that the document was dead on arrival in the United States and that it could not be implemented. And there was an attempt to define the Ex Cordia Ecclesiae as more of a pastoral document and as Pope John Paul II's vision for Catholic education, but not as a legal document. And in fact, an apostolic constitution is a further definition of canon law and is expected to be binding on all Catholics, or those, in this case, those who it's particularly focused on, which would be Catholic colleges and universities. So, unfortunately, in reaction to the Georgetown situation, the current head of the Association of Catholic Colleges and Universities said to the Washington Post that, again, making this argument that it's somehow Ex Cordia Ecclesiae is more of a personal vision or a goal that Pope John Paul II envisioned, and that it is not intended to be a checklist for Catholic colleges and universities, and that's simply, it's just factually not the case.
Sure.
And so it's something that we keep having to deal with. Colleges, I think, are threatened by the concept of lay people going to the Vatican and asking for enforcement of Ex Cordia Ecclesiae. And so if they can put out this notion and encourage the bishops to embrace this notion that Ex Cordia Ecclesiae is not something binding on the colleges, then perhaps they can escape that. But it's just factually not the case. And the bishops themselves in 1999 issued formal guidelines implementing Ex Cordia Ecclesiae in the United States. And we keep advocating that those guidelines be implemented that the colleges conform to them.
Right. Well, we very much appreciate the work that you do, Patrick. It's been great to talk to you, and
we'll
definitely call you again when we need more clarity on what's going on in Catholic colleges. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you.
When we return, is everything in and from Hollywood automatically bad? Definitely not, according to our next guest. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
Dr. Ray Guarendi talks about the National Catholic Register.
The Register is catechetical news. In other words, it teaches the news from the perspective of the catechism. And you can learn all kinds of good things about the church and faithful living through the Register. They cover a wide, wide range. Catechesis, explaining the faith, what's going on in the world, in the Vatican. Good, solid Catholic journalism. The Register helps people cut through the spin. There's no spin in the Register. It is faithful Catholic teaching, analyzing of the news from a Catholic perspective.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the register or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Jeff Jordan, is an acting coach at Hollywood Acting Studio. This is a professional state-of-the-art studio located in Los Angeles. Jeff is a former actor, nutritional, and fitness coach. He works with Hollywood stars, law enforcement personnel, athletes, teens, rehabilitating patients, and the chronically ill. Jeff is a graduate of the University of Southern California. His deep knowledge on theology of the body gives him the unique ability to bring about the true dignity and beauty of each person that he trains in Hollywood Acting Studio.
Jeff, it's great to have you to talk about this important work in Hollywood. We hear so much negative about what comes out of Hollywood, and of course, recently with some big news and debate about Noah, but you and Carlos and others there in Hollywood are really working to make a difference through the Hollywood Acting Studio. And the purpose, the mission as I understand it, is to prepare actors to help inform them so that they can be excellent in their craft, but also balanced as individuals from the standpoint of spiritually and physically and that sort of thing. Now, it may seem obvious from that summary as to why someone would join Hollywood Acting Studio, but why don't you, in your own words, tell our audience why an actor or an aspiring actor would want to attend Hollywood?
Well, so, you know, most young people, when they feel that call, they have something inside their heart to be an actor. You know, they want to tell stories. They want to express themselves. Most young actors and that, they just have this feeling this is what they're supposed to do. And they have a great desire to do it. But most of them don't know who they are. They're not very confident in who they are as a person. They tend to come to Hollywood and they think, I need to look this way. I need to act this way. I need to make myself presentable in this way. When really, what's so great about the calling of acting is that God needs you to be just who you are. You know, the world of Hollywood doesn't need another Brad Pitt. They don't need another Julia Roberts. And that's not what they want. They want you at your best. They want you to be the best you can be. But most young people don't have that confidence. They don't understand that. And in a way, the industry doesn't want them to know their dignity, just how incredible they are, that these gifts and talents are from God, that He's the one that's preparing the way for them, because then they can use and manipulate. So when you come to our studio, basically what we're doing is we're setting you free to be who you are, who God made you to be. And, you know, when you're free to be who you are, you're going to just enjoy the ride. You're going to know that God's going to be the one preparing the roles. He's going to be the one putting you where you need to be. You're going to be meeting the people. So you can really have fun, enjoy the ride, have a great time being an actor. And when you're free to have fun, that's when you're performing your best. You're not worried about what you're doing. You're not worried about how you're going to do it. So, the major focal point of the studio is to bring the actor in and get them so that they're comfortable with who they are and knowing that they have the most powerful person in the world behind them, that's Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and they can do anything. They can move mountains as an actor.
Fantastic. That's exciting. Now, you may have answered this in some respects, but it might be good to contrast what Hollywood Acting Studio is in some specific ways to other acting studios that folks might consider in Hollywood.
Yeah, so what makes Hollywood unique is most of our program is really focused on the formation of the person. Because if you're not a whole person, if you don't have that balance, if you don't have a good sense of yourself, it doesn't matter if you're the best actor in the world and you succeed and you're making big movies. We know plenty of stories where people are doing all this. They have fame, fortune, and they're unhappy, and it's not fulfilling them. So largely what we do is we focus on the person. I would say 75% of our program is really getting to the heart of the person. The other 25% is the basics of acting. You're with other actors. You're tuning your craft. You know, it's only a three-month intensive program that we put on. During that time, you are tuning your craft as an actor. You're learning about the business. You're learning the basics. But you're really there to get in touch with your person, in touch with your being. Most acting studios that you go to, it's all about the craft. And that's beautiful and that's wonderful. We encourage actors to go to other acting studios afterwards so that they can continue to build their craft, their art, become a better actor, become more comfortable with their presence on stage and all that. But we're here to build you up as a person. And I don't know of any other acting studio that can do that.
When you know and live the love of Christ in at a profound way, when your prayer life is healthy, so much more falls into place, and the rest of the world makes a lot more sense.
Definitely. I mean, I have experienced this because I've worked with a lot of actors. Most of them act out of fear. All their decisions are calculated because of fear. They're like, you know, if I don't take this role, there might not be another one. If I don't act this way or I don't do this for this person. Most of it's fear-based. And, you know, fear paralyzes you. It doesn't allow you to be free. It doesn't allow you to really live your life and enjoy every moment. Whereas Christ comes in, you know, in faith, he sets you free.
So, yeah, it reminds me of the passage in Scripture that says, perfect love casts out all fear. And what you're doing is you're drawing the hearts of these young men and women who are called to live and work in the arts to that love, so that then they can fulfill that calling to their fullest. This is Dan Burke with Register Radio. We're here with Jeff Jordan talking about the Hollywood Acting Studio. You can find out more about Hollywood Acting Studio at Holy, H-O-L-Y-W-O-O-D, actingstudio.com. So there's only one L in Holy as opposed to Hollywood. So Jeff, tell us a little bit about your experience with Hollywood Acting Studio and how it's impacted your own life.
Well, it's funny because I went to University of Southern California and I actually studied theater there. And I was not Catholic at the time, and or wasn't practicing. I was baptized Catholic and raised, but it was all cultural. But I went into acting, and over the course of about a year and a half, I pulled out of acting just because, for me personally, I was having a lot of just personal issues and stuff like that. And I was really living my acting career out of fear. I didn't know who to trust. And I finally got cast in a role, and I actually turned down the role because I didn't feel like it was good for me. Spiritually speaking, I was just starting to go through a conversion experience. But basically, I had a very strong ache in me to be a storyteller, to be involved with the media. But I didn't understand it, and I didn't know how to use it. So I left the industry for a little bit, and I started my own fitness company. And then about 4.5 years ago, I met Carlos, and I'm with the acting studio. And I was very excited because they wanted me to bring my fitness program. And they knew my experience and my background as an actor and working with other actors, working with a lot of actors, just getting them ready for movies, stuff like that. So they hired me on, and I was very excited because this was an opportunity for me to be involved with acting and fitness and my faith. So it was all being fused into one. But it's funny because through my own journey, the acting studio really helped me, because even what we were teaching the students, as I was teaching, I was being taught. And I was being set free. And then during my time at the acting studio, I had a head-on collision with the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and it literally completely changed my life. I was not a very happy, joyful person. I did not feel free to live my life however I wanted, and he set me free. And
it was
absolutely incredible.
It's an exciting mission that you all have, and knowing Carlos as I do, who was just full of the Holy Spirit and joy and energy and excitement for the faith and for acting, I imagine that infuses the entire environment. Have you seen, is it pretty common that when actors come in and through the studio, they have that same experience where they, of course, they become better actors, but they really have this transformative relationship with Christ, and particularly in respect to how they live out their profession?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, we have people who are non-believers come in, and 2 or 3 weeks later, they go from being depressed, and I mean, some who have had suicidal problems, and they come to be joy-filled and happy and excited about life again. And it's incredible, because as actors and as storytellers, when you set someone free just to use their gifts and talents, knowing that God is behind them, even when they make a mistake, he's going to give them double graces, like, you set them with that fire of just like, hey, go out and live it, and don't worry about it. He's got you every step of the way. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, just to see the transformation, how quickly, when you give them that message of just, you know, Jesus has you, he paid a price so that you wouldn't have to, it's really incredible.
You know, one thing that's interesting is I have a son who's a very good actor. He's, even as a freshman, was chosen for lead role, and then all the way through high school, the same. In each of the key plays that he had opportunities with. Now, we worry, of course, about the surroundings of Hollywood and so much of the debauchery and lives that are very confused and broken. How do you help students live in that environment and effectively navigate it? How does Hollywood really help students in that way, actors in that way?
You know, when we give them the message of that Christ died for your sins he paid a price, how much he loves you, how good he is, it sets them free. And the incredible part is we don't have to do much after that. They have a confidence, and the Spirit kind of just takes over their life. And we don't even have to talk to them about it. They naturally just start to live in a different way. And when they're in when they're around those environments, it doesn't seem to affect them. It's really an incredible thing. We don't have to do much. We kind of just let God take over, and he just guides their hearts, and they start to realize the things that are around them, and they start to, you know, it's crazy. They start to transform the people. Everywhere they go, the people are being drawn to them.
That's great.
We have such confidence in grace over sin that grace will abound no matter where. And we teach them that. We're like, be confident. It doesn't matter where you are. Be confident in grace, and grace will abound. And it does. So it's actually easy for us. Once we give them the message, they go out and do the rest.
That's fantastic, Jeff. Well, I sure appreciate the work that you do at Hollywood Acting Studio and Carlos. And for folks to find out more, go to www.hollywood.com. And also, folks will be able to find out more and the links on the National Catholic Register's website, which can be found at ncregister.com. And then also, if you want to check out one of the shows that Carlos and others from the Acting Studio have been on, you can go to EWTN's YouTube channel and search Hollywood Acting Studio, and there's a Life on the Rock there, and I think some other information. So it's a fantastic organization. Thanks for being with us, Jeff. We're grateful for all the work
that
you're doing.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, Dan, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.